In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us as Weird Wolf, Insane Galvatron, Cyburn 2, God Convoy, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, and Plasticon Reviews discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 62, recorded August 12th, 2013. I am Weird Wolf. Along with me this week is Natsume Ryu.
Hello.
Oh wow, you're really loud. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be quiet.
The faceless wonder is Guard Convoy.
Hello, everybody.
And Plasticon Reviews.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Want to welcome each and every one of you this week to our broadcast. If you're listening live to us, you can interact with us on YouTube on the comments section. We're going to be monitoring it closely, and that way we can see if you have any questions or comments about our broadcast. We will try to talk about them live if we have time and if it's pertinent. We're also brought to you by tftalk.net, where you can go and view the new Transformers Museum we've opened up. If you have good high-resolution pictures of your Transformers from any era, you can actually add to our museum and view that. It just opened up this past week. We got a few pictures up there. I know I've uploaded quite a few myself. And we don't have every era that is available at this time, but they will be down the road. We also have a Twitter account. You can follow us at TFYLP. And we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Also, a little programming note before we get into our Ouch My Wallet this week. I'm actually going to be getting married here in a couple weeks, and I'm actually not going to be able to broadcast personally. I know next week a lot of us are going to be gone for different reasons. So next week there will be no episode of TFYLP. However, Plasticon has said he's going to try to get out an episode with the crew the following week after that and the week after that. My availability is just going to be very sporadic, and I'm just not going to have time to edit myself. So I do apologize for that, but just look for the links and stuff on Twitter and Facebook. We'll keep you updated. If you want to hear old episodes, we've also opened up the TFYLP and Geek Existence Transformers podcast archive on the main website. You can download and or listen to straight off the website old episodes of TFYLP. And even all the way back to the very first episode of Geek Existence Transformers, which was episode number 11, and it's explained. The enumeration is explained on the website there. But I also want to little apologize right now because I'm a little bit under the weather. I'm kind of feeling down. I took some medication about an hour and a half ago, and it's just now starting to kick in. So I'm kind of riding on that, and hopefully I can get through this. My throat's already starting to feel scratchy.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
That means we need to do all the talking, guys.
It's all good.
But I've got my trusty glass of water here, and keep my throat wetted down. And getting sick before a wedding is not a good thing, but hopefully.
You'll be okay.
Yeah, I got 2.5 weeks for the wedding. So, what about you guys? Natsume, I see you're in a hotel room again. What's your location this week?
I am still in the same hotel room, actually, in Indiana. I don't know. Maybe Friday, Saturday, we'll be going back. We still don't know. Around that same time, that's when I'm finally going to have all my materials for Mega Man, so I'll be able to show some actual progress on it. In the meantime, I'm still stuck here with Origami Cyclone and Ironhide and Sky High, who I left in his box because he's just that sad.
Oh,
he's a bad toy.
He is, unfortunately. But he's pretty. He's good for posing. He's a good posable statue.
What, the G1 Sky High?
Fjords.
Oh.
The friendly companion of Origami Cyclone.
Yay. Oh. There's actually a G1 Sky High. That's why I was asking.
Is he blue? I need to look it up now.
I don't remember. What color was he?
Was he a MicroMaster?
I want to say he was a MicroMaster, yeah. I believe.
No, or was he a Pretender? I thought he was a Mega Pretender or something other.
It says G1 Autobot Pretender Sky High.
Yeah. Yeah, I was right. Pretender.
And he is red and gray.
Well, that's right. I remember him now. He has like this crazy like spaceship thing, I think, he goes into. I think he has GPS, by the way.
Yeah. I'm not mistaken. He's another one of those obscure G1 characters that it's like, I think there's a character named that. Oh yeah, I guess there is.
It's like he turns into a helicopter. It's pretty cute.
Yeah. And Guard Convoy, what's up with you this week?
Oh, just working as always. Not much of anything else.
Toys?
Just got
toys.
Yeah, got some toys.
Okay, we got something to talk. We got something to talk about now to my wallet in a minute then.
Yeah. Nothing Transformers related.
Oh.
But I got a couple things.
Oh man. And Plasticon, what's up with you this week?
Just taking care of the kid, trying to relax before I have this shoot next week. Other than that, I just got them dropping another review. I think, yesterday. It's been spammed everywhere. If you guys want to go check it out, it's my Skyfire, Jetfire review, Generation 1. He's cool.
That's a good toy.
Yes,
it is. It's an unbelievable toy. And most people that's never had one get one.
I've had three in my lifetime.
You can't go wrong with the VF1S155 Valkyrie.
You can't. It's such an awesome toy. I mean, even if you can't afford like a Jetfire, but you can find like that Robotech type of toy and get it cheap, buy one. Play with it. They're awesome. It'll just make you want to get an entire army of them just because they're so cool.
Yep.
Lots of posability.
Hmm. Yeah, I was sitting here reading the feed on YouTube, and Bloodstorm, Sideburn 2, is most people would recognize him on the podcast. He's a little bit under the weather. He would be with us tonight too. So I guess it's getting about that time of year where everybody's getting hit with some kind of sickness. And I think what my problem is virtually everybody in this household and close to us is. My fiance, she had double lung pneumonia for the last week, and I hope I'm not getting it. So, that was not fun. She was almost hospitalized over it. So, but a lot of stuff going on, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. There's a few news items we'll briefly touch on, and then our discussion topic tonight. If you're a fan of the Masters lines, Headmasters, Target Masters, Power Masters, Micro Masters, Brain Masters, you name it. There's been a Masters line.
Breast Masters?
Yeah, Breast Masters, or Tit Masters, as we like to call them. Yeah. there's been a lot of different Masters lines in G1, and some's actually popped up in homages and in current lines. We'll be talking about those at length later on in this episode. But without further ado, we'll skip into our first subject of the night, which is Ouch My Wallet. Ouch My Wallet, as always, is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Captured Prey, great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Plasticon, you're the first one on my video screen here, so I guess we can go with your Ouch My Wallet this week.
My Ouch My Wallet this week wasn't, it was Transformers related, but it wasn't actually a toy. I had a buddy of mine that shot me a link to, I'm going to go ahead and screen share this, and shot me a link to tfury.com, and I actually bought a couple of awesome t-shirts.
They look so cute.
They are adorable. I had to get them. I'm a big cassette former fan. I love cassette formers, and I had to get them. That is way too cool. Plus the cassette tapes and the whole 80s thing. Everybody loves that.
Yeah. There was actually... Yeah,
that's pretty much about all I got this week.
Yeah. Ripped Apparel actually had one day before yesterday. That was... there was an there was one shirt, and then they had an alternate shirt, and it was... G1 Rumble in tape mode, and underneath of it, it said parental advisory causes earthquakes. And then the other one was Frenzy, but you could pick and choose which one you wanted to be, Rumble or Frenzy. But everybody here knows that Ribbed Fur is the way to go.
They were trying to be, you know,
yeah,
they were socially correct, but no, it doesn't work that way.
This podcast is 100% Ribbed Fur Her Pleasure.
It's an animation error, nothing else. The story Bible proves it.
No. If it's an animation error, then it went through the entire G1 cartoon. So.
Yep, it was an animation error. There's too much proof against it.
No, I disagree.
I can prove it.
I don't care what you prove. I'm telling you, I can go pop in my DVDs right now and show you.
I don't care. And then there's three Starscreams.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And Autobot Soundwave.
Yeah, this argument, it's never good.
No.
Oh, mercy.
Why didn't we notice this stuff when we were kids?
I actually picked up a couple things this week. The first thing, I was at Target the other day and I saw it and I'm like, you know, this is the first time I've seen this guy. I haven't seen any around anywhere else. And I went ahead and picked up a Trailbreaker or Trail Cutter or whatever people want to call him.
Yay!
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Did you read
awesome.
The comic yet?
I have not. I have not had a chance. I've actually been so busy.
It is but so good.
I've actually got it sitting right over here, so maybe before I go to bed tonight or tomorrow night or something, I might flip through it and read it.
Just to let you know, in the comic, there's a Kamen Rider.
Okay.
Really?
I have to look for that.
That's awesome.
Where at?
Let me keep talking. I'll grab mine and tell you what page.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah, I think... Like, with all those IDW figures coming out, I'm thinking it's like I'm buying the comic book and the figures like a bonus to me. That's how I'm seeing it. I see it the other way around because, I mean, you get these cool exclusive comics with the figures. So.
Well, those comics are actually just repaints and slight edits of comics that's actually already come out separately.
I found it. It's page 15. He's on the group shot with Lockdown. And he's on the very edge. You'll see him. It's Kamen Rider V3.
Which magazine is it?
It's the comic.
Trail Cutters.
Yeah, Trail Cutter comic. That one that comes with a toy.
Yes.
I'm going to find an image if I can online. That way we can show it to everybody.
Just go to the wiki. They got a page for V3.
Hmm.
Which wiki? Who's wiki?
TF wiki. The TF
Wiki.
Yeah. While you're looking that up, one of the other things that I was able to pick up is a lot of people may know that I'm getting some toys for Insane Galvatron, and I'm kind of like the middleman for him right now, and he's having stuff shipped to me for various reasons. And he picked up a lot the other day, and I got to messing with one of the figures, and I'm like, I really, really like this toy. And I want one, but I can't afford what he was wanting. Well, he was actually wanting to keep his, so I really want one, and I really can't afford them because they generally go for around $30 on average, I have seen. But I was able to snipe one for, get this, $10. And yeah, I've got Machine Wars Starscream for $10 off of eBay. And
that is a fun mold.
Yes, it is a very fun mold. And as you can probably see in the video, well, my video just went away inexplicably. But yeah.
As usual with Google.
Yeah. It knows. There it comes. He is in immaculate shape. There's like no dust on him at all. The stickers are in really fine condition. I mean, there's a couple that's kind of scraped some. And he's got almost all of his missiles. I think he's missing like two, but you know, he's got enough that you can actually display on the wings here. And then he's got like one empty bay inside the things here. But yeah, he's an absolute gorgeous toy, and I was absolutely ecstatic. I'm like, I've got to pick this up. You know, I sat there and I watched the auction, and it got down to like 15 seconds. I'm like, there's going to be somebody and swoop in and get this for like $20. And I just entered in the starting bid of like $9.99 and clicked refresh and said, you have won this item. I'm like, yes.
That's crazy. I got mine for like $30 with all the missiles and everything. I was like, okay, cool. I got one. And now I'm like, great.
I mean,
I guess I didn't get as good of a deal.
And this time right now, I mean, you know, it's hard to justify spending money on figures, but I mean, you know, that was just too good of a deal to pass up for $10, you know, in free shipping. So yeah. So yeah.
I also have, Skyquake, which is phenomenal.
The original version of the mold?
The original version of the mold. I actually have all my Predators. I'm now working on the Turbo Masters, which I can't wait to get all those.
The only version of the mold I have is King Atlas, the Universe repaint. And, yeah, I just love that toy. It's so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's simple. It's not got hardly any posability at all, but he's just visually impressive. He's enormous. For those of you who may have the Generations Trail Cutter, here's a size comparison. Here's Trail Cutter, and then got Starscream next to him. Yeah, he's
big. It pretty much comes up to his knee.
Yeah, yeah. And what's funny is wow. It looks like if they took this little bar out here in the middle, he would actually have some posability in his legs. Because
yeah, it would be very little.
Yeah, well, he's got ball joints right here, in the thing. Let's see if I can show it on the screen here. But yeah, he's got ball joints right here, and then of course he would have some knee articulation, even though the knee would be a little bit low. He's got some knee articulation. So why they included that little bar right there, I'll never know. And he would actually be even more poseable that way, and he would be doubly awesome. But as is, he's really awesome, really cool. I'm proud to get him for a really cheap price, and everything. So, see, Natsume, you say you got something this week?
We have the Bugman.
Ah, let me click on your screen here so everybody can see it.
You can see him on the far left.
Aha.
And this is
so we do have a Kamen Rider amongst us.
Wow. He has no belt.
He is Kamen Rider V3.
Well, he does have the belt, but you can't hardly see it because it's like halfway cut off.
He's got a pelvis plate, and he's got a waist that goes down into the pelvis plate. I don't see a belt.
Well, his belt wasn't very visually impressive. It was very small.
Yeah, leave it to Guard Convoy to look at the waist of people, you know.
That's what she said.
Well, I have his figure.
As I say, he has a figure. I've seen it.
I have two of him, actually. He's my favorite Kamen Rider.
So, for a comparison shot, here we go. That's good.
This is the part of the podcast we look at pictures.
Yay! And we talk about Bugman on a Transformer Giant Robot Cot. Podcast.
Robot Cox? Did you? What?
What? That's an entirely different podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's that one, and then there's in comparison.
Yeah,
pretty close.
Definite correlation there.
And it's been proven that that was the intention. Hmm? They talked to the writer, the artist of the book.
Yeah, I found one of those pages. It was it's this one right here. Today's comic, they have the right here. And apparently a Kamen Rider, not sure how that works. So, yeah. But there you go. It's appropriate. It's proven.
I love when they put Easter eggs and stuff.
And that is the best of the comics that have come out of the four, the first wave. That comic is so good. Because it's in the same universe as More Than Meets the Eye.
Oh, so nice. Good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that... going back to the Machine War Starscream, how they had such an awesome mold. And I had the very first iteration of that mold that I ever had was the King Atlas back whenever it first came out in Universe. I was unfamiliar with its previous uses, and I got it, and I was really impressed with it, but just not in those colors. And then I saw the Machine Wars version of it, and... absolutely fell in love with the toy, but I never was able to pick the Machine Wars version up. At one time, I had all the small Machine Wars figures, but I did not have Soundwave or Starscream, and now I've actually owned Starscream. So, but yeah, Guard Convoy, you said you picked something up, but wasn't Transformer related.
I actually got a ton of stuff, but I'll just... Because I just went to an anime convention at A-Fest in Dallas, like, let's say about a week and a half ago. And I picked up a couple things. One thing was a gift from a good friend of mine, CJ, as an early birthday present since he won't see me until, like, next June. He picked up for me the Power Rangers Legacy Power Morpher that they made for the 20th anniversary of Power Rangers. It is made of solid die-cast, and you could literally punch someone to death with it. And it makes these sounds. No, I'm not kidding. You can use it as a brass knuckle. It is heavy. It is massive. Every coin is die-cast. The plates are die-cast. The handle is die-cast. You could kill someone with this.
Wow. And Power Rangers has giant robots in it, so this one is relevant.
Well, you visited tftalk.net, you'll see that the website is about Transformers mainly, but we also do Brave and other robot mecha, so that totally fits now.
Yes.
It totally fits now. Even though we are a Transformers-centric podcast, we will also talk about other mecha and robots too. So,
as we should.
Like Voltron.
And just,
yes, Voltron is cool. Yes,
Voltron needs
just to just to mention a couple things else I got. I got Figure Arts Ryuki with Drag Raider. I got Kamen Rider Rider Man. I got a bunch of Power Ranger cards, like 30 packs. And just to mention one more toy, because it's Hasbro, and since I found it, I bought it. I found the Luke Skywalker from the first wave of the Black Series 6-inch line.
Oh, nice.
And it's a really good toy. I'm like, I am blown away what they did with this figure. It's not a figure art by any means, but for a retail 6-inch figure, it is really good. I'm really wanting the rest of the line. And they just seem so good. I'm ready to get my hands on that Boba Fett, the Han Solo, all of them. I might go complete this on this line.
Nice. Yeah, from what I've been gathering, seems like that entire line's actually been kind of flying off the shelf. It really hasn't been sticking, so that's actually kind of neat.
I was surprised to find these ones. The ones they had at the store when I went, they had R2-D2, the Stormtrooper, and they had a Luke. I would have loved to pick them all up, but I only had the money for the Luke Skywalker. But I'm hoping to find Darth Maul and Stormtrooper, or the Sand Trooper again soon, because those are the two I really want.
Yeah, I can see like the Sand Troopers and Snow Troopers, and you know they're probably going to come out with the Hoth Troopers as well. Those are going to fly off the shelf because people are going to army build them, man.
Yeah, so. I will army build them. I'll at least get two or three of each.
Yeah, they're pretty neat. I looked into those, but also I'm kind of interested in the other line they have that's coming out side by side with it. Well, they're actually doing the old school 5-point articulation from like the 70s. That's what they're doing with them, which is kind of cool. They're still going with like some of the crazy molding, but the molding is not so over robust that it's going to get in the way of the joints and everything. They're like literally going like the way they used to be with the old vintage figures, which is
like
going to be
pretty Human Alliance figures.
Very true. And it's actually a good thing, because you think about it, children really don't need a toy that's got articulated ankles and, you know, all that stuff, because most of the time those parts just pop off on them. So they're great for kids.
It's one of the main reasons Hasbro is going to take the Beast Hunters and simplify them, because it's just gotten too complicated for children.
And the Transformers 4 toy line is going to be the same way, from what I understand. But, you know, there's always going to be stuff out there for the collectors, like the Masterpiece line.
I love Masterpiece, yes, yeah. And it's so good.
So, I mean, I'm going to be keep on picking them up, as you can see right there. I believe that'll do it. Does anybody have anything else for the Ouch My Wallet they want to mention before we move on? Bueller?
I can't think of anything.
Bacon?
This edition of Ouch My Wallet has been brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Let's move on to the news this week. We got a few news items, not a whole lot. I guess first of all, we'll talk about Sound Blaster with Masterpiece Sound Blaster, which nobody really was surprised about that. But the big surprise with him is the fact that he's coming with a Masterpiece Rat Bat. Thoughts and comments on that?
I see eBay a bunch of Sound Blasters without Rat Bats.
Now, we knew about the Rat Bat mold ever since they announced Soundwave, because there was a prototype on display along with the rest of the cassettes. We just didn't know how they were going to release it. But it seems inevitably it's going to come with Sound Blaster. And honestly, I have Sound Blaster pre-ordered right now just for Rat Bat.
I like the way Rat Bat looks.
Honestly, I would like to have them release a 4-pack of Masterpiece cassettes and do like a Rat Bat, a Slugfest, an Overkill, and maybe Squawk Talk and Beast Box. It'll be a 5-pack, yeah.
What I'm hoping they're doing is they're going to do two more in Japan, do two more sets of cassettes so you can get the last four Decepticon cassettes, and then you have Sound Blaster with Rat Bat by having all and then you'll have all the cassettes, which will allow Hasbro to release it all as a 5-pack, like you're mentioning.
That's very true, but I kind of one of the things I missed was, like, you know, kind of like they did with the discs, where they came out with just the little 2-packs and the blister pack. That'd be cool if they did that and kind of did like an homage and threw it in like some old school G1 looking card backs with the bubble and all that. That would actually be kind of neat in order to see something like that. But make it so it's like a clamshell that you can open and put back together, which would be kind of neat. I'd love to see them do something like that with that line.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm looking. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think it would be really neat because, like, collector aspect, you get an item in a clamshell. A lot of us like to just hang stuff on the wall just with the one little peg, you know, so everybody can see them and they're nice and displayed. So I think it'd be kind of cool if they did that with those, so that way they got their little cases they're in and they're just stuck like in the little clamshell with this nice cool G1 background on the back, and just it'd be a nice looking aesthetic, especially for Masterpiece collectors.
You know, that's one of the things. It's like my Masterpiece Soundwave box right here. I've still got all the little cassette what you were just talking about, brain fart.
Cases?
Yeah, cassette cases. The Energon Cube and all that stuff, it's still in the box. I never even pulled it out. You know, stuff like that's neat. I'm glad it comes with it, you know, just for display's sake. But honestly, I really don't have any interest in stuff like that. I mean, if there was a way to display it, and I'm actually a little bit annoyed that the little pile driver sets for Rumble and Frenzy, you have to take them off and store them separately. I wish there's a way to hide them away somewhere on Soundwave or something.
Actually, I thought there was a compartment on the back of Soundwave for you to allow you to put those pile drivers into.
Is there?
I believe there is.
I'll have to pull mine out of the case in there and look. I looked all over the body.
What is it
on that? But I think there is.
On Masterpiece Soundwave, the little pile driver sets for Rumble and Frenzy, is there a place to hide them away on Soundwave himself?
No, but you can clip them to his arms as weapons.
Oh, really? Okay.
There you go.
Okay, well, that might work.
And the pile driver packs will also clip on the back of the cassette.
Yes, I knew that, but they kind of look kind of clunky. In my opinion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Masterpiece Soundwave's really awesome. And Sound Blaster, I don't see much more of an appeal unless they give him the ability to hold at least one more cassette. And
I don't think that would be possible with the way the molding is.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying he's already able to hold three cassettes. And, you know, if he's just a black or a dark blue Soundwave and slightly darker gray, and he's coming with Rat Bat. Rat Bat's the only appeal, and that's why I would rather have him separately.
Well, honestly. I'm starting to look at him more in the pictures, and I'm like, his head, his forehead, it looks like it's just too low. And I'm like, the mold looks great, and the sculpt on the face looks great. But his proportions are a little bit weird compared to, say, the other Masterpiece.
Well, but that's the way his proportions are supposed to be. That's the way he's supposed to look.
Yeah. He's got like a slight little teeny tiny change. I mean, because I have G1 Sound Blaster and G1 Soundwave, and they're identical molds. The only difference between the two really is the eye color, and like you were saying, the blue is swapped with black. That's primarily the biggest difference. Slight different change in like the silver. It's like a more of a grayish color on Sound Blaster. But I mean, there's really no difference between the two other than that. And that's why I'm saying I see, you know, the collector that wants like all of that mold and all of those cassettes wanting them. But most people are just going to buy it for the Rat Bat and then sell off the Sound Blaster because they don't really care about it. It's kind of like the Shattered Glass Sound Blaster and Blaster Pack that E Hobby did recently.
Natsume, compare the new Rat Bat to the animation model and the comic book model, and you'll see how it's very similar.
Yeah.
Compare it to the toy.
Yeah, they follow the animation models very closely on those. But, moving on, while she's looking up that picture, some other news items that we have. What else do we have?
G2 Sideswipe.
Yeah, the G2 Sideswipe. We've actually seen good, clear pictures of that, and his "I just smelled a fart" face, or his loud burp face.
It's a gorgeous toy.
It is a gorgeous toy, and I like the fact
that it's perfect.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they're including the stickers sheets for the G2 stickers. Yeah, here's the animation or the comic models for Rat Bat, and he looks a lot like that.
Yes, and I would say that I don't like the proportions on this model because it doesn't make sense. It's not realistic. It's like he can only fly upright, and even then, he flies forward, he's going to be facing the ground. He can run into trees and mountains. And
he's a bat.
Yeah.
His ears are going to face him the wrong way for sonar.
He led the Decepticons like that, so he is good.
Yes. That
and he also had the Car Wash of Doom.
So am I a horrible person for liking the G1 toy better?
No. I do like.
I've got the G1 toy. I love it.
Yeah, he's a gorgeous figure.
That particular picture though that you brought up, that came from the Universe comics from Transformers.
Yes.
I've got there's four of them in the series. They all have like bios for all of them. Mm. Pretty cool.
I've actually highly recommended. I've actually got all four of them over here as well.
Everybody's screenshot.
Just to speak on G2 Sideswipe to get us back on topic, I'm blown away at how they did it. It's literally a recreation of the G2 comic. Literally, the head sculpt is a perfect match. He has every weapon he had in that comic, including the shoulder spikes. He has a sword, both guns. The only thing he's missing is a chain belt across his chest, and he would be a perfect recreation. To me, it's probably the best masterpiece to date because of how perfect it represents the source material it comes from, in my opinion.
Definitely. Check out that. I like the shoulder spikes on there, too.
It's so good.
I just like how he's got that one gun, and it looks like a gigantic engine block in his hand.
I have him pre-ordered. I need to own him. He is so good. And I already have regulars.
Look at that face. You got to love that face. He looks like he's in mid-burp, or he just walked into somebody's fart cloud, and he's like, ah!
That face is the perfect representation of the early 90s and how everything was so gritty and extreme.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It just looks awesome.
That's me over here doing some weird faces. But yeah, we move on. And this one right here really hits close to home for me. Fans Project Quadruple U, or the third-party Weirdwolf, as a lot of people may recognize the toy, has actually started hitting TF Source and BBTS's stock. Let me see if I can screen share this. Yeah. Here we go. This is from TFW 2005. You got the... check that out. I mean, he just absolutely gorgeous figure. And in my opinion, he represents Weirdwolf in a fantastic way. I want to go down to the blood bank and donate blood right this minute so I can probably get this toy, but that's still not in
there. Sell your masterpiece Soundwave, and then you can get your quadruple U.
Yeah, I probably could do that, but no, I'm not going to do that. No. Not going to do that.
I mean, it does look amazing. It the proportions are pretty good. I do think it's pretty neat.
Yeah, he's so awesome. And
they have pictures like just the Headmaster transformed? Or does it...
I haven't seen any, but I know it does. I mean, you can look at it and tell that it does.
Yeah, I'm just curious if they have any pictures just of the Headmaster itself. Because the Chrome Dome they had that came out was pretty good.
I mean, it's this guy here, he actually looks like a wolf. You know, he's like a cartoony wolf style. The original G1 Weird Wolf, that was my only beef with it, is he looked really... He looked more like a husky, Siberian husky, than anything else.
Oh, like a puppy.
Yeah. But, yeah, he's pretty awesome. And let's see here. I know that there's somebody in our crew that really wants us to talk about something other, but I'm thinking awful strongly what this toy is. Oh, yeah, there's a subscription service has announced this week that they are going to be releasing some Microns. With some of the toys. For example, the Chrome Dome is going to be released with a Micron called Stylor.
He doesn't need one, though.
But it's still cool. I have to admit, that really raised him up on my want list because of that.
But this is more than meets the eye one.
I don't care.
He doesn't need a Micron.
I don't care.
It bugs me.
The original Chrome Dome had a partner, so this guy needs
but
a partner.
This is a completely different Chrome Dome. Entirely. This Chrome Dome is better.
Yeah. Yeah, unlike some people on our podcast, I do remember our Transformer roots and where they come from, so.
Well, things get better with age.
We like our headmasters.
Yes.
Well, Chrome Dome no longer needs to be a headmaster because his more than meets the eye self is perfect.
Okay. If you say so.
Read the comic and you'll understand.
I don't read the comics that much.
You fail me.
No. I don't.
We'll fail you, John.
Yep.
I don't like Bud Guys, so.
Oh, I forgot something I bought that I've been playing every day, but I forgot to talk about it. Just real quickly. I got the Vocaloid game Project Diva F, and I'm addicted to it.
I know. Your Facebook feed every morning is like a Twitter feed.
Yes.
Every morning I wake up.
He's the only one posting at 5 a.m.
Yeah, every morning I wake up and look at my Facebook and everything, and I'm sitting there, and I'm scrolling down like 10 different posts. It's like John James posting about this game, and I'm like he is the only one posting for like a 2 hour span.
It's awesome.
that's pretty awesome. I'm kind of beating around the bush here. There's another really awesome thing that one of our crew member wants us to really talk about. But
I know what it is. I know exactly what it is. It's that incentive bonus that comes with the Japanese Metroplex. That thing is totally cool.
What was that?
That cable holder?
It's just like a little... Yeah, the little cable holder. That's very
it's
neat.
Cute.
Oh, what about the pictures of the Nissan brothers that's recently popped up? Those are really cool,
I know,
too.
They look so good. Yeah, let's see what else. Cool. There must be something we're missing, but I can't think of what it is.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Oh, there's the Masterpiece pipes.
Yeah.
The Masterpiece.
I'm kind of mixed feelings
pipes
on that.
Pipes and Huffer?
X-Transbots is the one that's going to be releasing that, and I've messed around with some of their previous releases, and I really wasn't that impressed with them. They just
their Devastator upgrade set's fine. I have it; it's not bad.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yep. I never. I'm not going to down talk them. That's not to say they haven't got any great stuff. I just they're exclusive, their particular figures, like the Power Glide, mm-hmm. I was not impressed with that guy at all.
I mean, there's some of them that they came out with, they weren't the best, but, I mean, at least it was an attempt that nobody else had done yet, so. It's an articulated version of Power Glide, I mean.
Yeah.
Next to trying to get the, what is it, the Universe version? That's like humongous.
Somebody playing with his Power Ranger stuff.
Has to.
But
I gotta get my...
Go ahead.
I'm done.
Okay.
I didn't know y'all could hear it. I had it away from the microphone.
Oh, we could hear it just fine. I'm sitting here and I'm like, is he still playing with that toy? Really? But I'm with Sideburn on here. He mentioned in the comments thread. We're being ultimate troll here. But the addition of the Microns, it's a good idea since there's not going to be a Voyager in this set, in the subscription service set. That's really awesome. But I guess we will quit beating around the bush here and get onto the last little news item there, and that would be the latest subscription service figure, the sixth figure in the set, which is Thrustinator. Yeah, it's a rather unusual name, and I'm kind of
That's
thinking.
What she said.
Yeah. it's like, hey honey, could you mind if I order Thrustinator? She'd be like. Is that some kind of new dildo or something? But yeah, it does sound like a motorized dildo. But no, this is actually Thrustinator right here, as you can see on the screen here. If you're watching the live broadcast on YouTube, it looks like it's going to be using the Beast Wars 2nd Dirge Gun mold. But I don't know. They may even remold. The Generations Waspinator into it as well. But
from what I've heard, they're just using the dirge gun mold. They don't have the ability to use the waspinator mold yet.
Where it's still kind of new.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's basically waspinator with a beast machine thrust color scheme, I guess.
In a way.
Yeah, he kind of has a beast machine thrust look to him. Or is it just me? Maybe I'm seeing more into it.
That's what the character is, because Waspinator became Thrust.
Yeah, it's
pretty much a homage
half,
to the final episode.
Half Thrust, half Waspinator, as far as personality goes.
Yeah, that is interesting, and that's also another mold that I don't. Was that ever that mold ever actually released here in the U.S.?
Never. None of these Cyber Beasts were.
See, that's what's awesome is that. That the club is actually digging in and getting molds that's never been released here. What's Plasticon showing us now? Oh, wow. What's this now?
That's a game that I have on my iTouch.
It's the Movage.
The G1 Awakening is what it's called.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty cool little game. It's not too bad. It's kind of like a real-time strategy game mixed with just knowing how to power your characters up. It's pretty cool. You guys should just check it out.
Is it only on the iOS platform, or is it?
I believe so. I think it's only an Apple-related one.
Let me check it out here on the Google Store or on the Play Store. You guys can kind of talk amongst yourselves.
It's called G1 Awakening.
Speaking of the club, myself. I'm not the biggest fan of the club. I've gone on record several times. I'm actually considering getting this subscription service. I honestly am. Because I love Chrome Dome. I love Rewind. I like this Thrustinator because it's a mold I don't have. I'm liking Barricade even though he has a little bit too much purple. The Treadshot looks okay. And then even though it's Iron... It's Fistatron or Iron Fist or whatever the fuck. I can't remember his proper name right now. And it's like, even though it doesn't exactly work, I can tolerate it. I'm considering, surprisingly, to getting this subscription service because Funpop's doing a good job of picking designs and stuff for it.
Yeah, I've also stated on record as well that I'm not exactly a big fan of the club and their practices, and I'm still not. But I have to say that this subscription service has got some figures in it that has made me raise my eyebrows and say, "Hey, you've got some great stuff here." I mean, we're seeing things that's never been released here in the United States Rumble Frenzy mold and the Dirge Gun mold, if it does indeed turn out to be the Dirge Gun mold. And I applaud them on this. And then adding in the Microns, that's just a good idea. I really like the idea, and I like the direction they're going with it. They started out with very ho-hum announcements and everything, and now they've added some excitement to it. And the Tread Shot with Cat Gut, I believe.
I think so.
Treadshot was originally a Action Master, and now that they add in his weapon, the Cat Gut, it's really, really cool. I guess the Dirge Gun was Hellscream, so I guess that mold has been released here in the U.S., so Sideburn 2 mentioned that out.
I don't think a Dirge Gun has come over here. I've never seen that
Hellscream?
Mold released over here.
It wasn't Hellscream?
Transformers.
No, Hellscream was one of the other ones.
Hey, let me look up a picture.
Preparation, people. Preparation. We need to do it. Oops. It's not just it's not just a letter H.
I was about to say. Thinking to it.
It's not just a letter H. We need to do some prep here.
Because this mold is very hard to get a hold of because it never came over.
Yeah.
But yeah, why am I getting pictures of Overbite?
If you type in Hellscream.
Oh my god. Let me get rid of the TFU. Yeah, it's, it gives me a bunch of World of Warcraft stuff, so I have to do transform.
Imagine that.
Hmm. Dead Space.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, that was, right, a, yeah, that was a good game. Oh, okay.
Don't hate on World of Warcraft. I do play it.
Yeah, Dirge Gun never came over.
I'm okay. Not. I'm not seeing anything except Overbite, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, and some Brawl. Overbite. Oh, it does, Brutus.
So that's not
Overbite
the...
did come over. It was the Hellscream became Overbite over here, but Dirge Gun never came out.
Okay. Okay, that clears that up.
I've been trying to find pictures of the mold from the beginning, and I couldn't find any then, and I can't find any now. So it's like, well, okay.
Well, if you type in Dirge Gun, that'll
one word.
It pulls it right up.
Yeah.
I put a space in it earlier. Oh, I see.
So you said okay. The right man. There we go. Yeah, that's actually not a bad looking toy, honestly.
His head reminds me of Beast Hunter's Ratchet that you kept saying was the Dinobot 2 thing.
The
I would say.
Doom?
Yeah.
Yes, I think this head sculpt looks much more like the Ratchet 1 than the Dinobot 1.
That's pretty cool. But yeah, that's the highlights of the news this week. You guys have any closing thoughts on the news figures?
I just want that G2 Sideswipe more than anything.
I really like that Barricade. I shouldn't, but I do.
Yeah, just curious to see how much further they're going to go with these comic book characters.
You know, like I said, though, I'm not a huge follower of the comics, and I'm not a huge fan of the club, but I might actually go through some source to pick up these figures if I can get some money down the road, because they really
sure,
look like they're worth it.
For sure, I'm getting Chrome Dome and Rewind no matter what. One way or another, those toys will be mine.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting my thoughts together tonight. We'll move on to our discussion topic for the night, which is the Masters lines. Plasticon and I talked briefly before the podcast about things that we wanted to talk about, and talk about the examples of some of the original Masters lines. And by Masters lines, in Generation 1, we had the Power Masters, Head Masters, Target Masters, Micro Masters, Action Masters. We even had, in Japan, the Brain Masters, the Breast Masters. What other Masters did we have?
I believe that's all of them.
Yeah, there was a lot of different of the Masters lines. And a lot of people like to follow the guys... those lines, and are big fans of those gimmicks. And I am particular. I mean, my favorite character, Weird Wolf, is a headmaster. And I always loved, even back as a kid, up until that point, I really wasn't that much of a fan of some of the newer, futuristic modes that we saw in the Transformers movie. Hot Rod was cool, but, Blur and Cup, it just looked kind of weird. But then you add in the extra gimmicks like the Headmasters and Target Masters, and while they, are kind of a pain in the butt for the collector market, the Masters have their appeal. And I totally clicked past where I needed to click here. Plasticon, you want to take over here for a second?
Well, I mean,
my brain's not working.
Going into like a lot of those, like we were saying about all those gimmicks and such. I mean, there's a lot of third party stuff that's came out recently, dealing with like smaller, like Junkie on Blacksmith did, the Megatron and Optimus Prime and Blaster, Soundwave, also did a Ultra Magnus as well. Trying to think. I think there's one more that they did, but I can't remember exactly offhand. But they're just little headmasters, and these headmasters would work directly with your vintage headmasters as well. A cool thing that most people don't know, though, is when you buy the Optimus Prime one, the Optimus Prime one actually comes with a little platform that you can plug him onto, and the little platform will allow this headmaster to plug into your Power Master Prime, which essentially makes your Power Master Prime, whether you have the American release or the Japanese release, turns it into a headmaster. It's kind of cool. And then from the little silly candy machines or whatever you want to call it over in Japan, you have the little Target Master Prime, which is kind of cool. So obviously I've built a Target Master, Power Master, Headmaster, Optimus Prime.
Definitely. Well, you could even get the third party Master Shooter collectibles if you got the Sharticon exclusive HiQ and Revelway. You could use the HiQ from that as a Target Master.
I need to get hold of one of those.
This is definitely awesome. But, you know, talking about the Generation 1 Target Masters, you know, we got an example here in G1 Landfill. You know, you got the double Target Masters here. And, you know, for the most part, you know, they're really simple guys. I mean, it's basically one little flip of the gun barrel here. And, you know, he's a little guy, you know. And... you know, I'm about to drop
he's
him
so
here.
Cute.
Yeah, he's so
cute. Like a Polly Pocket.
But, you know, even in the larger versions, in the larger Target Masters, they weren't much more complex. They were maybe a little less detailed. These smaller guys are actually more detailed in the sculpts. But, you know, they're simple, but they don't need to be complex. It's one of the things that's kind of lost in today's toys. But then you have the Power Masters. Like I've got the G1 Power Master Prime here, and the gimmick in it. If you're not familiar with them, if you're a relatively new fan or haven't been into Transformers long and haven't heard a whole lot about them, but the Power Master gimmick, basically with Power Master Optimus Prime here, is the engine came off and turned into a little dude. He basically folds his legs up around his shoulders, which, you know, he's kind of a contortionist that way, and fits in the chest compartment here. And if you push in the chest compartment, you can see that little tab there, and it unlocks the transformation. There's like a little locking mechanism. It could be broke if you didn't have the toy and tried to force the transformation, but you push in the Power Master and it unlocks the power of transformation. And that was the gimmick for the Power Masters. I thought that was such a novel idea. It could have been implemented in a number of different ways, but it wasn't bad. And then, of course, the Headmasters. I don't have an example of one right now. Shame on me, since my favorite one is a Headmaster. I'm sure Plasticon, you've got a Headmaster handy, don't you?
Scorponok?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got Scorponok down. Might be kind of a pain to try to drag him over here.
Well, you don't
the
have
biggest
to.
The biggest gimmick done with
off camera.
Yeah, I have Fort Max too, but I was like, there's no way I'm dragging his butt over. He's way too big.
Guard Convoy wins again.
I know, right?
Especially when mine was $4.
What? Oh yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. Basically the gimmick with the Headmasters is it's got this little readout that's basically right here, right into the chest, and when you plug the Headmaster in, it tells you its power level and such. So yeah, you know, obviously it's over 9,000, but it's kind of cool.
His power level's over 9,000.
Exactly. And another thing, a lot of people haven't, I don't know if how many people actually out there has a G1 Scorponok, But his little bitty, I can't remember his little dude's name, but the little guy that rolls along with him, if you fold him upright and use the screw hole on the back of him, you can actually plug him in and use him for a Target Master.
I did not know that.
A lot of people
I've owned that toy twice, and I never knew that.
Yeah, I tend to play with them. Another thing is on the back half, and this is going to suck for our audio guys, but you have the two crane bits basically to plug into the legs. Well, if you look on them, there's like a small hole that will actually plug into the bits that are on the back of his stinger where you can actually store those. And the lift portion, I just kind of cradled and stuck onto the back of the stinger on the very back. So that way you're able to like take all the bits that basically are your work in base mode and store them on this guy. So that way you don't have to lose anything. So I don't know how many people out there's actually tried that, but that's what I tend to do.
I always kind of tuck them down in the sides of the legs and stuff like that. There's little compartments all over him that I always kind of threw things in. But you know, the Headmasters and the Power Masters and the Target Masters, they had some really special gimmicks. Then we also have the Micromasters. This is one of the Micromaster Airstrike Patrol from the Decepticons. You know, they really didn't work in conjunction with a large Transformer, but you know, basically their gimmick was that they were extremely small Transformers. You know,
the first world's smallest Transformers.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, Micro Machines, slightly larger than Micro Machines size Transformers. And these guys can generally be picked up for about $15 for a whole squad on eBay. And you can even find some of the whole squad's men on sealed card for like $20. They're really cheap, but they're still really cool.
It kind of depends, though. On the Japanese ones will run you up in the hundreds of dollars because most of those were never released.
Yeah.
Like on a worldwide basis, because take Star Convoy, for instance. There's a gimmick on the back of him where you actually put your launching trucks. And when you push the button on the back on his knee, it'll actually launch the Micromaster out of these. So it's pretty cool. There are little gimmicks that those small little Transformers work with, but they primarily work with like a lot of the bases. So, yeah. You guys have never gotten into Micromasters. It's a great line to get into.
After I found out in my Sky High research that Sky High is his second incarnation in G1 is a Micromaster, a little Autobot Jet. Fun fact from the wiki. He's the first instance of the reuse of a name in the Transformers fiction on different characters.
Nice.
So, and considering their price, that might be something I'd be looking into in the future.
It's like a little historical first. But yeah, the Target Masters, there was also other instances of Target Masters going back to them. I wanted to point out. We have modern incarnations of Target Masters, and I'll pull one up here in a moment. For example, Target Master United Stepper, he is, you know, they've got the actual articulated new updated Target Masters. I wish they would do more with these, like with the Headmasters. We're getting a updated scoop, in one of the upcoming waves. That's really cool. And you got, United Art Fire, I believe. Yeah, I've got the box of it right here, and the actual figures in my display case. It uses a combination of the new updated Target Master and one of the Microns as a Target Master, and those are really cool. What was you showing off there a moment ago?
This is G1 Art Fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's the G1 Art Fire. Really, really cool figure.
Yeah, he's a pretty amazing toy. I mean, although it is like, you know, because the Infernal mode has been used in G1 and G2, and it's like, why did they never release that mold in more colors, if you think about it? Because it's such an easy mold to get, because Grapple's on it identical. The only difference is a ladder and a crane. That's it.
Yeah,
so
They could have released Artfire over here. They could have released the Hauler. And Natsume is losing her webcam here. But
I don't know what made it go, but it decided just to go.
But yeah, they have a lot of appeal. One of the lines that tends to get a lot of flack, and surprisingly, the club has been homaging a number of the Action Masters. Action Masters essentially were, yeah, we've got a Micron Target Master there? Oh yeah, the Power Core Combiner Target Masters. I don't think they were necessarily called Target Masters, but they essentially were Microns that turned into the Target Master partners. But going back to the Action Masters were essentially non-transforming Transformers that were basically like the G.I. Joes for Transformers. They were very articulated toys that represented more of the comic and the cartoon aspects of them. I don't have... I've got Banzaitron and his partner in my display case. I didn't grab him out, but I decided to show this guy off since he is a one-of-a-kind, as far as I know. And there never was an actual release of this toy, but I have an Action Master Weird Wolf. I'm going to see if I can show it here on the screen. Yeah, Action Master Weird Wolf. This was a custom by a gentleman on the boards known as Prowl Pants. He was the one that did one of the BotCon exclusives for, I believe, the last BotCon. He did an Action Master G2 breakdown, and he got a lot of flack from Hasbro, I believe, for that. And I don't think he's done much since. It's kind of sad because I think this is a gorgeous little piece of work here. And as you can see, a Headmaster Action Master. I got this from him about 10 years ago when I was a moderator on TransFans, at what it was called then, TransFans.com, but it's now TransFans.uk. And I've kept it to this day, and I will never sell this guy. It's so awesome. But Action Masters, like I alluded to earlier, catch a lot of flack from the fans, and I want to kind of talk about this for a moment before we move on to some of the other master lines.
Omega
you guys,
Supreme.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Any of you guys have comments about the Action Masters and your thoughts? I think the biggest knock against them is the fact that they do not transform, and they lose a lot of their appeal for that. But what are your guys' thoughts?
I mean, for me, when it comes to Action Masters, I'm fine with them because I collect stuff like Super Robot Chogokin, which are robots that are supposed to transform, but they don't actually transform. If it's a good posable transform or not.
You're transforming right now, Guard Convoy.
Yeah.
Your voice is...
Yeah.
He lagged out there for a second.
The joys of internet speaking.
Yay.
Hey, in my eyes, I love those things because I think they're really cool because it's like you were saying. I mean, they're kind of like something with like G.I. Joe, except for it's like you can pose them. It's like a poseable version, but it doesn't transform. But it's, you think about it, that's a pretty big step for G1. And then you had the vehicles and stuff. And yeah, some of the vehicles were kind of wonky or kind of crazy, but that was the appeal. And it was really cool. And honestly, if you think about it, it appealed to children a lot because kids love stuff like that.
Well, you know, back in the day, I mean, I was a kid back then, and it was, even though it was toward the end of my toy playing days, I was getting up to be almost a teenager. I think I was a teenager by the time the Action Masters hit, but I was kind of one of those late blooming children that, you know, I played with toys a little bit longer than a lot of kids did, you know. But I had health problems, and so I was shut in a lot. So toys.
He's got medication for that.
Yeah. Not anymore, but I don't collect toys no more. but
this honestly, is a toy podcast? What?
Yeah. But quite frankly, I hated the Action Masters back in the day. I saw them on the shelf, and I'm like, what is this? Non-transforming Transformers? I want no part of these things. But, you know, as a collector, I look back on them, and I think, you know, they would have been a lot better received given the storyline that they had. I got the storyline. You know, in the comics, the characters had run into Nucleon that froze them into the robot modes, and they were not able to transform. I know Grimlock and the Dinobots were frozen in with Nucleon and some of the other Transformers. And I totally got the storyline, and I understand why they existed. But as a line of Transformers, I mean, they essentially made up the entire line in 1990. And I can kind of see why a lot of the popularity of the Action Masters wasn't very high back then. But nowadays, I do see the collectability of them. I do see the appeal of them. And some of the characters were unique and interesting. Kickoff, Banzaitron, you know, just very interesting characters.
Double Punch.
Yeah, Double Punch. I would very much love to have seen them as a supplement, you know, like the Headmasters and the Target Masters in the years before them. They weren't the sole representation of the line. You know, you had other Transformers that weren't a master. You know, you had your Six Changers and others that had different gimmicks, but
they were secretly slaves.
Yeah, but the Action Masters pretty much was. I know there were a few transforming Transformers on the shelf at that time, but
mainly G2 stuff.
Yeah, mainly G2 because Action Masters came out right at the tail end of G1 and didn't really have a whole lot of appeal for anyone, but now
they had that play school type of play to them, which depended on, you know, if like older collectors and such, when they were like really really little and got hold of the toy and was like, okay, cool, you know, like with your original line that came out, and as they got older, seen those, like, okay, you know, if they're like an adult when they bought those. And they had kids, they'd be like, oh, yeah, buy Action Masters for my children because they'll play with those because they're playable, you know, instead of trying to give a kid.
Well, I kind of see what they tried to do.
Expected a Transformer.
Yeah, I kind of see what they tried to do with the line in the fact that, you know, I was looking at it back then from the line of, you know, I was still a kid and I was still wanting more toys and more new characters. But from the toy company's perspective, from Hasbro's perspective, you know, I was actually getting out of the age range that they were targeting for, and they were still targeting toward the much younger age range and try to draw them in with newer and different gimmicks. And it just didn't hold my interest, but I'm sure younger children in the day, you know, those were the new Transformers to them. You know, to them, you know, there is a year or two of kids out there that was exposed to Transformers, and honestly, Action Masters was their first exposure to Transformers. Not a lot of people would admit to that, but, you know, and I'm sure not a lot of people were won over by that. You know, because they just didn't have the cool factor that, like, Optimus Prime did. You know, you had this die-cast and plastic tractor and trailer that would turn into this fighting robot with a battle base and stuff. You just didn't have that with Action Masters.
You did with the first release of G2, but when they got further in, they came up with Laser Prime, and Laser Prime pretty much took over what G2 Optimus Prime was.
Yeah.
So... And then you had the bladder cell launching prime. I can't remember that one. What the heck's it called? Some command convoy?
Hero. Hero convoy.
Hero, yeah, yes. Hero convoy. That's it. And then you had that one that came out that I would say the gimmick hampered the toy.
Yeah.
But it was actually a great toy. Yeah. I actually don't have him. I've got the Megatron, but I don't have the Optimus. But I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you have to go with demographics when it comes to a lot of those toys. Yeah. But seeing the newer Headmaster stuff that are not Headmaster, but Targetmaster stuff they've been doing lately, like with Optimus with the roller and the Bumblebee with I forget who the little helicopter dude is, but those are kind of cool. Those newer ones they got coming out.
Yeah.
I like where they're going with this, but I want larger scale. Like, give me a deluxe
scoop
with that little bitty thing.
Scoop.
Yeah, scoop. Mm-hmm. Do more of that. And yes, you're going to get more people to buy stuff.
Definitely, definitely. I do want to, since we are in the discussion area of our podcast this week, I want to remind people that if you're listening live to us, we broadcast live pretty much each week on YouTube, and we are monitoring the comments section. And if you want to chime in with a comment or a question, feel free to do so on YouTube. And we will try to get to your question or comment if it is pertinent to our discussion, or if it just catches our eye. But before we moved on, I wanted to mention that. Let's move on to some other of the Masters lines and some that just didn't appear here in the United States. Insane Galvatron, I have the extreme lucky fortune to be able to have some of his figures here to show off, and this is an example of a Brainmaster in Star Saber. It's not complete; it's missing the sword there. But otherwise, this is Star Saber from the, I believe, what was it, 1990 in Japan?
Yeah. Victory line.
Yeah, the
1989.
89. Zones in 90, wasn't it? I believe.
90 was
Master
Zone.
Force, Headmaster's Master Force and Victory. Yeah, it had been Zone after.
Was 88?
Yeah. But yeah, he combines with another figure called Victory Leo, and makes a much larger figure. But Victory or Star Saber, I keep wanting to call him Victory Saber, but this is actually Star Saber. Has a gimmick that is really, really cool, and I'll show it to you here. The head of the large robot kind of peels back on this guy, and I'll open up the thing here. I don't know why my video is not transferring. The video is just really, really strange tonight. But there's a small robot that lifts out of his chest. There's like a release button back here, and you take him out of the main robot. And you're able to take the little robot and turn it into a bigger robot. And then, much like the Headmasters and Power Masters, there's a small guy. And there, you open up the main chest compartment, and there's like a little elevator in there. I don't know if you can see it right now, but there's like a little elevator in there, and the Master dude, I can't remember what his name is in the show,
but Saber.
He stands in there, if I can get him out. And he comes out. He can he's got a little posability. He's got some posability in his arms, and his legs kind of has a sitting motion, as you can see. But what makes these guys really cool, and you know, I was none of these were ever released in the United States, and I have no idea why, because they were so freaking cool. This is one of my favorite gimmicks, aside from the Headmasters.
Robotception.
Yeah, you stand the guy in there, and you push up. You notice that the robot head or robot face is empty. You push up on this little elevator, and it makes the robot head or robot face appear, and that is so freaking cool. I just love that that aspect. And there was a couple other ones that were Brainmasters. You had Road Caesar, you had Braver, Blacker, and Laster. They were Brainmasters.
That was it. There was only four.
Was there only four?
There was only four.
But that was the coolest little feature. I love those guys. And there were some other ones. I know plastic on. You've got some examples right there in front of you.
Yeah, I have Deathsaurus right here. This is actually a custom I have. It's a 1-to-1 scale that I got, but it's actually it was a knockoff that I got. This thing had crazy green wings and the chest was all red. But the little guys here, this guy here, obviously you guys would probably, if you guys actually have the real one, you guys know this guy's completely red instead of yellow. Basically what this guy here would kind of turn into, kind of like Soundwave. This would actually plug directly into the chest, and then you would plug this guy here directly onto the front of the chest as well. And this chest portion here has ability to push back. It doesn't like unlock a gimmick or anything like that. You can transform them without the little guys here, but these are really, really neat because these have ability to be able to turn into a weapon, which this is pretty much his weapon mode, which would make him a crossbow. That's all you had to do is flip this portion here out. And then if you didn't want to do crossbow mode, you would have to pull all these bits out, and he turns successfully into a little winged lion. And I can see kind of where some of this stuff might not actually have appealed in the United States, because some of this stuff is very, very Japanese kind of oriented. But it's a very, very, very neat thing. And what's crazy about these right here, you wouldn't realize it, but these little joints in here, everything here is actually a ratchet joint. So these things actually had a lot of articulation just for as small as these are. And he was one example of the Breastmasters. There was also Monstructor that was released here in the United States that Lyokaiser. That's what I'm thinking of. Lyokaiser that was not released in the United States. It was actually part of this same line. It was a set of 5 robots that had the same kind of gimmick with a Breastmaster thing that turned into a weapon. And I'm talking these things were roughly deluxe size, maybe a little, I'd say they're approximately about as tall as this Quick Mixer. They had a little breast guy that came off there that would turn into an animal and turn into a gun. And They were kind of target masters then. Right. They were a target master, breast master. And they also, like the lot of 6 of those for Lyokaiser combined into a big combiner. They all turned into one big gigantic robot.
As Lyokaiser. To me,
that's Lyokaiser. And that is probably the coolest set, I think, when it comes to any combiners ever. Because it was a target master that had little bitty critters that can run around and attack stuff when it's in gigantic robot mode. I mean, there's no other Transformers ever came out like that. It's the only one that's like that, and that's why it's extremely expensive to get.
It's around
$1,400 to probably get a complete one.
And also you have to worry about, there's one of the members, I believe Kill Bison, known for GPS. And he is really, really fragile. I think he's almost entirely gold plastic.
But there are, you could also get
the 4 UK
Rescue Force tanks.
Yeah. Basically, like he said, the 4 that were there in the UK, those 4, you can get the Kill Bison version there, but he didn't have guns. He had these capture cloth things. Don't know why, it's kind of weird. But they were next to the gimmick of having a Breastmaster, but they were identical molds. The crazy thing is they only released 4 of them. They didn't release all 6, so you can only build like half a Lyokaiser with it, which was kind of silly. But
it's like the Road Caesar guys, hate to interrupt, but it's like the Road Caesar guys, they released those in Europe as well without the combining bits. And you could get all of the components of Road Caesar, which was Braver, Blacker, and Laster, the Breastmasters. Brainmasters. They came with their Brainmaster partners. They came with weapons, but they didn't come with the little bits that allowed them to combine together into Road Caesar.
It was just the shields.
Yeah, the ones that I had If I can pull them up here while you're talking, the ones that I had, they were the Japanese versions. There was a different coloration to the European releases. I did have the Japanese version, but they didn't have the combiner bits either. And it was
right.
Really
they were like individually released. I remember that. And then they had the box set.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that there was a high quality KO version of this guy that was released, and it's extremely rare to find. And it had all the combining bits and everything. But I believe that was released about, I'd say about mid 90s or so. But it's really, really, really hard to acquire. I have never seen like any high quality KO other than that one that was ever released of that particular one. If you guys are in the market of trying to find a Road Caesar. Road Caesar's really hard to get to.
Yeah, he's really hard to get, but he's really simple. I mean, don't expect a lot of complicated transformation with this guy. For example, Road Caesar, each one of the components had this simple of a transformation. I mean, it's simply, you know, fold a couple things back and flip out their arms, and there you go. You got the robot mode. But it's their Brainmaster gimmick, kind of, it added to them, but at the same time, it was,
I'd say it kind of took away from
it. Kind of took away from, the overall posability of the toy, but not the appeal. But keep talking there. I'm still looking for the pictures of the guys here. I've got a good high res picture.
Right. The few times I've looked, and I mean, I do shop eBay quite often when it comes to a lot of these things, and some people will probably cringe and like, I can't believe you go to eBay for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are times that you get on there and you find somebody that does not know what they have, or
yeah,
they're selling something
here,
that's in
here you go
and,
right here
exactly your Starscream. I mean, somebody that did not know exactly how much money you should have priced that for, because you should have priced it for $30. Everybody else has it for $30. But the thing is, when it comes to a lot of these Japanese versions of these toys, they're next to impossible to acquire any other way. I mean, unless you're lucky to have a comic book store you're near that somebody decided to get rid of all their older stuff and then happen to find it on the shelf. Yeah, there's an excellent picture of them.
Yeah, those were actually the ones that I had. I had these guys, and let's see here, I'll show you their vehicular forms. As you can see there, Braver, Blacker, and Laster, and their Brainmaster partner standing out next to them. They were super, super cool.
Yeah, these actually, their legs fold up, so they actually have ability to sit in the driver's seats on those. And on Star Saber, the cockpit of the smaller jet opens up, so that way you can put Saber inside that. So the Brainmaster didn't just linger about or get thrown around. It literally was part of the entire thing throughout most of your transformations.
Let's see here. Let me get it off my screen share here. But yeah, the Brain Masters and the Breast Masters, they have a lot of appeal to me. They,
I mean, I just absolutely enjoy a lot of the Japanese ones, because the Japanese ones are so obscure. They're so weird. If any of you guys have never seen any of the Victory series or the Master Force or the real Headmasters, not the one that released in the United States, but the other one, you guys will run into Raiden that was never released in the United States, which is six trains that turn into a big gigantic combiner robot.
I want that toy.
I have two of it. You're probably going to hate me because I say that. But that toy is just awesome because it came from the Diaclone mod. That's where it came from. And that toy has the ability to combine into a big gigantic long train. And it doesn't turn or anything. It just sticks together and it's got this big long train. And it's a great toy, but it was released during the Headmasters, which was odd because it wasn't a Headmaster. It was just six trains that turn into robots to turn into one big robot.
Well, it goes back to the what we were talking about before with the Action Masters. You know, whenever the Action Masters were released, they were the centerpiece of the Transformers line at that time. And, you know, a couple of years prior, you had the Headmasters in 1987. That the Headmasters were the centerpiece of the line, but they weren't all that the Transformers had to offer. You still had the Six Changers, and you still had the Target Masters. You had different gimmicks. And in Japan, they also had the added Combiner and Raiden. And, right. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why Transformers was so popular over there. And then in Japan, a lot of them went to the same... they kind of died in the same way that the Transformers did over here in the United States with Action Masters. In Japan, they went to mainly MicroMasters and stuff with in Transformers Zone, where the large robots you had. Yes, you got one handy there.
Plastic, I can grab a Sky Gary here.
Yeah, they were the large robots were pretty much very simply simplified Transformers. There wasn't a whole lot to them, and they basically turned into little bases or vehicles for the MicroMasters. I know Diatlas and Sonic Bomber,
big powered Roadfire.
Yeah, they weren't really complicated Transformers. Didn't have a whole lot of appeal, and it leads to one of the subjects that I want to talk about in the next. Next month or so, I want to have an episode where we discuss the Brave series. And I'm going to use this episode. Yeah, as you can see, he's really, really simple to transform, but still really cool.
This is technically a triple changer. It turns into a base as well.
Yes. And it was also, that mold was also used in the Brave of Goldron series as Death Gary Gun. Which I believe you've got an example of right there as well. It's identical to the Transformers release, just different colors. There was actually a MicroMaster that was released with the Brave Series version too. You've got an Autobot and CD on it.
fun fact though, Death Gary Gun comes with three of the Transport. Trying to grab it real quick. This is a little transport trucks I was talking about earlier dealing with Star Convoy. These little transport trucks have a spring-loaded gimmick in them where they actually can fire the little guy out. But this, literally, Death Gary Gun comes with three of these. In order to acquire these, you have to buy the Japanese version of the MicroMasters if they were bought like separately. There's a white version and a black version of these. And the packs that the Japanese had came with one of these, and sometimes it came with the combiner versions where you had the front of the truck and the back of the truck or whatever it was that plugged together that turned into two little MicroMasters, or you had ones where it came with like a four pack of the other ones and one of these, and those are highly rare. You're probably going to pay where the upwards about $200 to $300 for the set if it's in box. If it's out of box, about $150, because the reason being is these little white container trucks are so rare to find. They're really, really hard to find.
And there's really nothing to them. They're essentially a box with molded wheels.
It's a box that opens like this.
Yeah.
And this in here is from Death Gary Gun, but it does no longer have the firing gimmick. That's one thing they ripped out of the Death Gary Gun. But this is a little tongue here on the front that you'd press. It would fire your little MicroMaster right out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool about these is, like I said, on Power Master Prime, it's got the two bits where it would actually fire out of the feet. Well, if it's in base mode, you press those bits and it would fire them out. Same thing with Grandis. Grandis has a place where you'd park one of these and then you just press the button and fire it out. And Grandis actually has a launcher built into his launching platform as well.
And it was also released in Brave as, I believe, Dagbase?
Right, but the gimmicks, the launching gimmick that was actually on the platform on Dagbase has been nixed. They got rid of that. And they added two gigantic large ramps to go on the sides for Dagbase, and they got rid of the 2 feet guns that actually stick out on the sides. There's some stuff they did. They also got rid of the tower and some other stuff.
Yeah, but they some of the Brave releases had some changes, some minor, some major. I know Def Gary Gun was probably one of the only ones that really wasn't changed all that much, aside from his color. And the transformation and everything, and his mold is identical to the Transformers release. But going back to what I was saying earlier, I want to use this episode as a launching point for a future episode discussion about Brave series. You know, the Brave series, which took place in Japan from 1990 through 1997-98, and it basically there you can see the two molds side by side, but it basically revitalized the Super Mecha Robot excitement in Japan. And in 1990, the popularity of Transformers was waning, and as you can see, I mean, some of the toys really, there was a lot of no frills with them, much like the Action Masters here in the United States. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to kind of talk about the Masters lines. You know, there was a lot of cool about them, and there was some not so cool, quite frankly. But, you know, there's an interesting footnote in the Transformers history and the Transformers franchise line. Anybody have any comments right now as far as...
I mean, I love the Brave series stuff because I've looked into a lot of it. I'm Death Gary Gun here, honestly, is my very first Brave one I bought recently.
And you can still really get them relatively cheap. Death Gary Gun is like 30 bucks.
Yeah, you can get him for like 30, 40 bucks. And he's like one of the cheapest ones to get. He's one that can actually segue right into your Transformers, so you can use him as a Transformer. I did throw Autobot logos on here because I did not think I was ever going to find one of these.
Yeah.
And, oh, This kind of goes back to your whole finding the thing on eBay. Guy had this thing up for $25, including MicroMaster.
Wow.
Didn't know what he had. But that's what I'm saying. If you guys get on eBay, sometimes you'll find people that don't know what they're doing. But if they do, take advantage of it. That's all I'm saying. But the thing is, this is my first Brave Series figure I've ever had. And I like it. But I've also looked into the other ones that are slight molds and retools, and then also looked into the other ones where I noticed almost everything in Brave is a combiner. Yeah. And that's what's insane. I love that because it's an aspect, and a lot of people, you know, they kind of like the Scramble City thing, but then they like the standalone robot. Well, I like those because you can take anything, like something Bison. I can't remember that one.
Oh, Land Bison.
Land Bison.
Yes,
yeah,
I actually have one in my case in there, and I'll bring it in whenever we discuss Brave in a future episode.
I drool over that thing because it's a big semi-truck with a gigantic car carrier, and then you got three other vehicles you can park in there, and you can just do – it's just so much stuff you can do with one
set. It's like Ultra Magnus had sex with Minosaur and you had Land Bison. You know, it's like
– it's insane, and there's a lot of them that are in that series that are like that. I mean, you got a whole bunch of planes that can transform in certain ways. There's one that's like a really odd one for you Beast Wars
Pegasus,
guys out there.
Pegasus Saber,
yeah.
I have that one as well.
And there's some people who love that thing.
Yeah, there's some great stuff in Brave, and it's interesting to note the Masters lines because even though the Transformers line and Brave series aren't the same toy line. The Transformers line basically gave birth or gave way to the Brave line in Japan, and a lot of the concepts that were revived in Japan and revived in through the Brave series line actually came back to the Transformers in future series. For example, the Brave series, Galgaigar, King of Braves, you have the symmetrical docking guys in Choryugen and Gekiryugen, and we see the same or the similar type of transformation in Jetfire and Jetstorm in Transformers Animated. the symmetrical docking, and you know a lot of those concepts. And you can see some concepts in Fire Convoy and Robots in Disguise, or Car Robots, Robots in Disguise. Some of the visual cues that come from him come from, I believe, Duke Fire, I believe.
Armada Prime as well.
In Armada Prime, yes. A lot of the concepts in the newer Transformer series that a lot of the new fans became Transformer fans of. Whenever we do the Brave series discussion, and I'm going to bring in some people from outside the podcast that are Brave aficionados as well. I believe if I can, there's a couple of them from Great Britain I'd love to have on the show if we can get the timing down. But whenever we talk about the Brave series, it is a very important but yet little known series. I mean, you can talk about Brave series and people's like, oh yeah, I've heard of Brave, but they really don't know what it is and how it's tied in with Transformers. And through the Masters lines, it's one of the reasons why we're talking about the Masters lines tonight, is that they were popular, but yet they were also not popular in a lot of ways. And that the unpopularity kind of led to the decline of Transformers overall in the general fan base. But you guys, we need to go, but... we hope you guys have enjoyed this episode and look forward to future episodes of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. Again, programming note, we won't be here next week, but Plasticon will try to get an episode out in 2 weeks. And I will be back in about a month after my wedding stuff and everything is over. Again, we hope everyone has enjoyed this episode. And Natsume Ryu, Guard Convoy, and Plasticon Reviews, see you next week.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.